Today we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, where the Bible says, and it's Paul writing, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." A lot of people get more than a little uncomfortable when it comes to confronting open sin in their own churches, even if it's done in a Christ-centered and appropriate manner. We're supposed to witness to sinners, we say. And we do things to reach people in the community who are doing exactly the same kinds of things. So what's the difference? We convince ourselves that the best course of action is to keep those whose lives and choices are clearly and deliberately in conflict with the kingdom of God right there in the midst of us. We convince ourselves there's no difference between their sins and the sins of the people we invite to evangelistic meetings. But according to the Bible, that's not quite true. When Paul instructed the church to keep themselves insulated from godless people, apparently some people came back at him saying that's simply not possible because everybody's a sinner. It's at that point that he's very careful to make a distinction between people in the world who don't even profess the name of Christ and those who pretend to be Christians while deliberately living a worldly lifestyle in the church. Of course you can't insulate yourself from sinners because you live on a sinful planet, and that planet is our mission field. But when someone calls himself a brother, someone who is making the claim that they are members of the church and ardent followers of Christ, and those people are in open, deliberate, and unrepentant rebellion, well, that's a completely different story. You can't afford to keep associating with such people, Paul says, and it's not hard to figure out why he says it. First of all, that kind of permissiveness doesn't take long to trickle back from the perpetrator to other members of the congregation. When we observe open sin for a while, it doesn't take too long before we don't think it looks too bad ourselves. Secondly, the church ceases to be a place where the world can see exactly why they need a life with Christ. "Well, you have the same problems I do," people can say, "and I don't see it helping anybody in your church one little bit. So why should I be a part of the family of God?" Of course, everybody in church is struggling with a sinful nature, and we all make mistakes. But still, the church needs to be the kind of place where the world can see the difference that Jesus makes day by day. Just like we wouldn't run to a physiotherapist who's never had a success story, sinners don't run to a church where nobody ever gets better. And that's why God puts us together as Christians. One by one, we're just not much to look at. But when we exist as a body, building each other up, encouraging each other, and blending our gifts together for the work of Christ, well, then the world can suddenly see the hand of God in our lives. And that's just one more reason that Christianity works better in a healthy church, and why keeping that church honest is just a better way to live.